You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Are you ready to rock?
Initialize sequence.
What is this, some kind of sick practical joke?
Ooh, yeah!
I bet that pizza tastes good.
This is where the world of pop culture and talk collide.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together.
I'm a little bit frightened of you, and I like the feeling.
This is the Adam and JP
Adam
Show.
Adam and JP Show.
Groovy.
I love geeks.
Yeah. I choose Elvis.
Nice. Good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice.
I'm going with that.
In case you've forgotten, we're talking about who he would choose, the Beatles or Elvis Presley. If he had to choose one artist, and the other one he didn't choose would be erased from his existence of all time.
Yeah. Just like the McFly family.
Yeah.
In the photo from Back to the Future.
Right. It is the Sophie's choice of pop legends or rock icons.
Yeah. We gave you a little Walking Dead cliffhanger at the end on Friday.
Except you didn't have to wait 8 months.
No. Just a few days.
A few days.
Hey, welcome to the Tuesday show brought to you by Outer Limits Comics in Franklin, Tennessee. This is our favorite comic shop without any question.
Without a doubt it is.
And I need to go there. I haven't been there in a week or so.
What are you thinking?
I need to go get stocked up on Rebirth.
I am behind as well.
Civil War II.
Mm-hmm.
Rebirth doing very well.
Yeah, much more than Civil War II.
Yeah.
We can say that I would say it's a sweep that Marvel takes over DC and the cinema, but the comic shelves are a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are in the Middle Tennessee area or you plan on visiting the Nashville-Franklin area in the near future, maybe when you come in for fanfare next year, go visit Outer Limits Comics.
With that being said, what we just talked about a little bit, do you think that's because Marvel, I know the Marvel and Disney thing is a cinematic journey separate from the comics, but do you think Marvel in general has more focus and more talent behind the cinema now, or at least TV shows and movies, as whereas DC has their talent behind the actual comics and the foundation of what they've built?
I think...
Thoughts on that?
I think Marvel tampers with beloved characters more than DC does, and sometimes that doesn't go over as well as they'd hoped. And, you know, you're absolutely right in that they're trying to make it mimic the Marvel Cinematic Universe in some aspects. So maybe beloved characters just go away because Disney doesn't have the film rights to those characters.
Right.
So I think that hurts Marvel a little bit. And I think just the joy of Rebirth, and it's kind of fun and inspiring, and I think that's part of the reason why it's seeing the success that it is, at least in what I've read so
if
far.
If only Marvel had just had a chance with Suicide Squad, as weird as that sounds. Imagine how much fun that movie would be. So fun.
It was pretty fun. See, that's the thing. I thought that movie was pretty fun.
I didn't have much fun. I had more fun in the concession line before I went to see the movie.
Well, that's on you.
Because it's one of those Coke machines where you can choose your own flavors and things.
That's on you with your sweet tarts.
I tried raspberry Diet Coke. That was not enjoyable.
Why did you do that?
I've never had it before. Before that, I had, what was it? Vanilla. And that tasted like potpourri.
This tastes like piss.
Yeah, so I dumped that out, got the raspberry, regretted that. Anyways.
last week on Twitter, popular hashtag, hashtag 7FaveFilms.
Oh, I thought it was... I'm with Efron.
No.
Okay.
Not your Superboy love. By the way, coming up, we're going to talk about Filmation.
Yes, we are.
Brief history of Filmation.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not so brief.
Surprising history of Filmation.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up really liking the guy that started the Filmation Studios.
Oh, yeah?
Like, it gets a lot of beef for being, oh, they're cheap, and that there's so many reasons why the Filmation cartoons look the way they did. And I hopefully by the end of our brief history, you'll appreciate Filmation a little more. I did, after researching it. Hashtag 7FaveFilms. Very popular. It trended for a really long time. Everybody jumped in, it seemed like. Everybody in the world was listening to their 7FaveFilms, except us. I didn't.
Maybe. I didn't know.
Maybe you've seen this. Do you know what ended up being the number one film?
I don't.
The Dark Knight.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
That ended up being number one.
Huh.
Number two was Pulp Fiction.
I think...
This is pretty close to a list I would write.
That's true. I think... I won't go down that road. Never mind.
What?
Never mind. I'm not going to go down
there.
Go
ahead. Don't say.
Dark Knight is good. Very, very, very good. One of my favorite Batman movies, but I think people take Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker, as limited as that was, and make that whole movie better than it was because his performance was so great. You take Heath Ledger's Joker out of that, it's so-so at best, I think, personally. Well, his performance is amazing.
But it depends on what are you going to put in after.
And a combined time, I don't know the run time, but I would guess maybe 12 minutes, maybe 15 pushing it, combined time of Heath Ledger's Joker in that movie. For that to be like the number one movie on people's list, kind of crazy, if you ask me. It's one of my favorite Batman movies, I will say that. But number one movie,
It seems to have a lot of fans.
I agree. And it's amazing. One of the best performances of all time was Heath Ledger as a Joker. I won't take that away from him. But very limited. And I mean, I wouldn't say it saved the whole movie. It's good. But
where is this coming from? You used to like
preach
the word of Ledger.
I said this
you're experimenting with drugs now.
I just said a few seconds ago. Still one of the best performances of all time.
Yeah.
But maybe 15 minutes out of a two-hour movie.
I think maybe a little more.
You think so? I don't know.
There's a lot of scenes with the Joker in it.
Not too much. Think even
way
like
more than Jared Leto.
That's very much more. Yeah. But even the classic, like magic disappearing in pencil. That's 3 minutes. That's one of his biggest scenes right there. Think about it.
I would say Batman and the Joker are probably in the movie equally.
You think so?
There's a lot of Bruce Wayne in that movie.
Yeah, that's a problem too.
Yeah, a lot of Bruce Wayne.
Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. Anyways, keep going.
Pulp Fiction number two.
Agreed.
You would say that's number two of all time.
I mean, it's in my top five. I mean, as far as filmmaking goes, top five.
Probably be in my top ten.
Yeah.
Number three, this was surprising, Shawshank Redemption. Another Morgan Freeman movie.
I've never seen that. Don't plan to.
Really?
Yeah. I know exactly what happens, but I don't want to see it.
You know what happens, but do you know what happens?
I know,
You've never watched it like on TBS?
No, I don't.
Because in the mid to late 90s, it was shown just about every night on TBS. Yeah.
I'm a
firm
believer.
Why it makes the list.
If you don't feel a movie before you see it, you won't enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like, I go into it, I know, like, this isn't for me.
I could be surprised. I've been surprised.
Like, I see Tim Robbins. I'm like, that's an X right there. Uh-huh. A drama. Prison. Crawling through tunnels of shite to get out of there.
Because I really didn't think I would enjoy Redneck Zombies.
How dare you?
And it turns out I was right. Number four, Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
What?
That's just odd that people... I'm nothing against that. It's just odd.
What's odd about that?
It's just...
It's an American classic.
I agree.
What would you choose if you had to choose a Star Wars movie to put on this list?
Jedi, of course.
Mm-mm.
The face of disgust.
No.
Okay.
No. You're entitled to your opinion. But you're wrong.
Empire Strikes Back is the downfall. It's the Rocky IV of the franchise.
It's the best Star Wars movie of all time.
Even the title, The Empire Strikes Back, has a sad tone to it. That's not a good thing. The Empire Striking Back is not good. The Jedi Returning, now that's triumphant.
I mean, it was triumphant.
Yeah.
But it also had Wookiees. Or not Wookiees, but
Ewoks. Even better. Even damn better.
How?
Which we sadly lost Kenny Baker this week as well.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
R2-D2.
Or last week, I guess, yeah.
I just recently learned that R2-D2, or Kenny Baker, did not get along with Anthony Daniel.
Really?
Were you surprised to learn that?
Not really. In interviews, I don't think I would get along with Anthony Daniels.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Number five, I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this. It says The Godfather, but it's going to encompass all the Godfather films.
Okay. Once again, people love it. Gangster movies are not my thing, man.
Godfather, because they're great movies. Godfather 3 is okay.
Yeah.
But 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Some of the best American cinema of the last 50 years.
I'll check them out one day. I've never been intrigued by gangster movies do nothing for me.
Okay, then.
I'd almost rather watch a Western. I said almost.
Cover your ears for number 6.
Uh-oh. Casino?
Goodfellas.
Ah, see, there we go again.
Goodfellas is a great movie.
Ray Liotta, man?
Yeah, Ray Liotta. And Joe Pesci.
I actually get Ray Liotta and Tim Robbins mixed up a lot.
So you could see Ray Liotta and Shawshank
Redemption? Yeah, totally. Like, I hate Operation Double Drop. Who's in that one? I can't remember.
Ray Liotta.
See? When I think Ray Liotta, I think Vice City. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, because he voiced the main character,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a very good thing.
And number 7, Faye Films, because that was the hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
Alien, but once again, it encompasses all the Alien films.
Wow. Interesting roundup.
Because no one can hear you scream in space.
That is the Twitterverse, I guess.
Yeah. It's very telling, though, of... I mean, because you think with, like, Dark Knight as number one, it's swaying kind of young.
Mm-hmm.
But then Pulp Fiction, you're probably going to get, like, Pulp Fiction, Shawshank Redemption, Empire. That seems, like, middle-aged. Even Goodfellas and Aliens, Godfather would be a little older, I think, as far as fans. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. I have beef with Alien as well.
What's your beef with Alien?
People always say it's one of the scariest horror movies of all time. I don't stand by that. Every year on AMC for Monster whatever, they have the top 50 scariest horror films of all time. They've shown it for 10 years straight. And in the same countdown, Alien is always number one. And I totally disagree with that.
What's scarier than Alien?
A lot of stuff. I don't think...
Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No, I wouldn't call that scary. I mean, as a child, I was much more afraid of slashers than I was of a xenomorph, that's for sure.
Really?
Yeah, big time.
Did it just burst out of your chest?
Yeah. That's at least a quick... as soon as he bursts out, you're dead. Not the slow breaking window of a Michael Myers slashing his knife around and he grabs your throat.
But aliens could really happen.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the spirit.
It's more realistic.
What I mean, you think those are pretty scary? Xenomorphs and aliens?
I think it's intense. I kind of agree with you that it's not...
I don't even think those are horror movies.
It's more high drama than horror.
I'll take sci-fi action, sure. Thriller? Let's go thriller. Yeah. But a horror movie? I don't see it as a horror movie. I've never had nightmares of being chased by xenomorphs. I'll tell you that.
In the first one, the mood is pretty scary. I think if you're going to say that any of them are horror films, it's the first one.
Yeah. It's that solitude feel to it. One woman, one alien.
Right.
The fear of that. But afterwards...
That one definitely has some horror elements to it.
Yeah.
I think after that, I don't think I could call any of those horror movies. I think you can make an argument for the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I haven't sat down and put together my list of seven favorite films.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
But these are all pretty strong contenders, in my opinion.
Think so?
Shawshank Redemption is the only one that might be lower.
Out of all...
Maybe I feel like Shawshank Redemption doesn't deserve to be on this list.
Out of all Tarantino movies, why does Pulp Fiction stand out the most, you think? You think that is his best one?
I think it was quintessential in setting that tone.
Started his feel to it.
And I don't know if it's...
The surf rock music and the shot from the trunk and the different timelines, things like that.
It's my favorite.
Really?
Yeah. But is it the best one? It's better than Jackie Brown.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm going
to
catch
filmmaking-wise, compare that to a Django Unchained, even.
Yeah, but Kill Bill's pretty...
Volume 1.
I agree with that. Yeah. I was disappointed with Volume 2.
Yeah, I was so hyped, saw it in theaters. I'm like, well.
The best part is Volume 1.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But I'm also a fan of though it's not just him, but the Grindhouse movie.
I've never seen that. I've heard such terrible things. I know. I don't know why I didn't. For some reason, the first weekend it was out, I didn't see it. Close friends of mine, at the time, valued their opinion. They told me how bad it was. I never did. I never saw Planet Terror or what's the other one called?
Death Proof.
Death Proof. Yeah, the car.
I think Planet Terror could be one of your favorite movies.
Are you serious? Really? If this happens 10 or so years after the fact it came out, and I love that, I will be pissed at those people.
You should be. You should watch it.
Really?
Watch Grindhouse.
They told me it was terrible.
What you're going to love about it are the trailers.
Machete and all that?
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, Machete.
Yeah, Machete. Let's murder and kill people.
I'll check it out. Okay, I may look it out. Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
I don't know. Is Pulp Fiction Quentin Tarantino's best movie?
I don't think
it's my favorite. I think he was certainly on top of his game as far as writing dialogue. Because the thing about the Tarantino dialogue, it got more with the different movies, mm-hmm. but I don't think it ever hit the high points that it did in Pulp Fiction.
That's true.
I mean,
Samuel Jackson's monologues are pretty awesome in there.
Yeah. And just the banter back and forth mm-hmm. is really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Django's still my favorite. It's my standby.
Hateful Eight?
I still haven't seen that yet.
Well, there's a Western you can watch.
There we go.
You'd rather watch a Western than Godfather.
That's true, I would.
So you can watch...
I'll watch Hondo 3 times over.
What was the inspiration for Django?
I think there was a movie called Django. Not Unchained, just Django back then.
But it had the theme song, right?
Yeah, the theme song that you hear at the beginning of Django Unchained is from an old spaghetti Western back in the 60s called Django.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was
Django,
thinking.
Django, which is cool. They took that and, yeah.
If you're going to watch a John Wayne movie,
yeah,
watch The Cowboys.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Not Hondo or She Wore a Yellow Ribbon?
Watch The Cowboys or The Shootist.
What about Hondo?
Or True Grit.
True Grit. I'll stand by that.
I like all of those more than Hondo.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And what was the one in the 70s where it was like a modern? He was like a modern detective.
Oh, weird. I don't know. I went to high school with a guy named Hondo.
McHugh? Was that it?
Hmm.
Maybe I'm thinking of McG.
Hondo always had big red in his mouth. My Hondo.
Like the gum?
Yeah, all the time.
Like the cinnamon-flavored gum?
Yeah, all the time.
Was he big?
Yeah, big dude, Hondo.
He was big, 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 and he was red, red, red.
Right.
Big red. They have announced that they plan to remake the film Clue.
How many endings this time around? How many?
Well, it's going to be different.
Uh-huh.
Because in the 1985 film with Michael McKean and Christopher Lloyd and Pennywise.
Oh, Tim Curry. Tim Curry.
Tim Curry. Thank you.
There we go.
It was all in the mansion, and it was kind of based on the characters of the board game.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so much with the Clue remake.
Really?
They tease that it's going to be a game of worldwide mystery.
No. It's a mad, 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 mad Clue.
If you loved Battleship.
And Kerplunk. They're plunking.
Have we done this joke before?
6 years ago, 5 years ago.
I think
ago.
It's time to end the podcast. We have gone full circle. Because I remember they're plunking.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to end it so abruptly.
Well, good night, everybody.
See ya.
What about an ants in my pants game?
That's possible. A cooties.
Don't wink, Daddy.
Ooh.
Guess who?
Gooey Louie.
Gooey Louie.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Gooey.
Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Ooh.
There eventually will be a Hungry, Hungry Hippos, the movie.
You think so?
I think
they're making a Tetris movie, so it's possible.
I still don't know how they're going to do a Tetris movie.
Speaking of Tim Curry. We didn't talk about the image of It, of the remake It. Did you see that from Entertainment Weekly?
They've released more?
Yeah, like the official first image of him, not just some, like the whole body shot of him. It's pretty cool.
Oh, does it look good?
Yeah, yeah, I'm a fan.
I haven't seen that.
I'm a fan. It's quite different and much more, whereas Tim Curry's Pennywise the Clown from the original It could be, even though we saw him as a horror icon, if you saw him at a circus before that, you'd be like, wow, he's just a clown. Whereas this It is from the get-go kind of creepy and scary. Some people aren't liking that he's scary from the get-go.
Why not?
I know. Cause, I mean,
clowns are scary.
I know, but you see Pennywise, like Tim Curry's Pennywise, he's just a clown. And because we know the evil that is deep inside, he looks scary.
What are you going to do? The guy's a clown.
I know. Check out the new It, though, the new Pennywise.
I will check that out.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still doing a stand movie?
I don't know. Who knows?
Because that got announced last year.
Yeah.
And then I didn't hear anything else after that.
What a writing career Stephen King has had to have not only movies and made-for-TV movies, but remakes of those TV movies and made-for-TV. It's crazy.
I know.
What a career.
He couldn't write a better ending for his life.
That's true.
Seriously. He would not write a good ending.
That's very true. It'd be terrible.
We love the space program.
Oh, yeah.
We love space.
Yeah, we do.
Space exploration. We're always asking, why don't we go back to the moon?
Spaceman ice cream? I haven't had that in a while.
I think it's fair to say the Adam and JP show are fans of NASA.
We support NASA.
Here are 10 strange things launched into space.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah?
Buzz Lightyear spent 468 days aboard the International Space Station.
Wow.
Yeah, one of the astronauts took up Buzz.
We've also seen an X-ray of him inside somewhere else.
I was just going to say that.
Weird.
Why does Buzz Lightyear keep popping up in these weird lists?
The most random places.
Hella cells. It was Henrietta Lacks was a cancer victim in the 1950s. She died of ovarian cancer. Before her death, cells were taken out of her body. These cells have been taken into space to see what effect zero gravity had on cancer cells. Turns out they divide and split up faster in zero gravity.
Really?
Yeah. So,
wow.
Human cells.
Uh-huh.
Cancer cells taken into space. Luke Skywalker's lightsaber.
Really? Mm-hmm. The original, huh?
Well, you're going to love this.
Uh-huh.
I hope you're sitting down.
I am. Thankfully, I am.
It's one of the movie props from Return of the Jedi.
Nice.
Went up with one of the astronauts aboard the Discovery in 2007.
That's awesome.
In 1969, Buzz Aldrin took communion wine to space.
Wow.
During the first flight to the moon, they had communion. Communion wine.
Really?
Communion bread.
Huh.
It was meant to, well, I mean, he did it as a religious ceremony.
Yeah.
But also as a way to honor, like, Christopher Columbus, because it's rumored that when Columbus arrived in the New World, the first thing he did was have communion
after
with his crew.
After he raped and pillaged?
Well... I guess it's which version of the story you're telling.
Right.
Was it Columbus?
Yeah. I mean, people now, like Columbus Day is a bad deal now. It's a bad taste in the mouth.
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, it's not America.
Right, yeah.
I mean, let's bust that myth for good right here.
Yeah.
He did not arrive off the coast of the United States.
Right.
He did arrive off the coast of islands that are now governed under the United States. But
weren't they all named by Amerigo Vespucci in the get-go?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on now.
He's the actual.
Yeah. Vespucci. It's a good pasta
Vespucci. let's see, 2008, Dirt from Yankee Stadium was taken up.
Really?
I can't remember the astronaut's name. He was a huge Yankees fan, took dirt up from the pitcher's mound from Yankee Stadium, and on opening day of the MLB season that year, he threw out the first pitch of the Yankees-Red Sox game from the International Space Station.
Weird.
It took like 10 years for the ball to get here. No. Stayed on board the space station.
That's pretty funny.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Space spatula.
Oh, wow.
It's true. They use spatulas to repair some of the stuff when they have to put some of the sealant
back
in, and then they go out and do the spacewalk.
Yeah.
They use a spatula to put some
of the
sealant
back on. That's got to be scary. Like, hey, our ship's falling apart. Let me go seal it.
Yeah, with a spatula.
Yeah, give me some space caulk.
And then if the spatula gets loose, it just floats in space.
Wow.
And when this happens, Houston or whoever's on the ground has to monitor the spatula. They track it.
Really?
To make sure that it's not floating around and runs into the space. Wow. Space shuttle while it's being repaired.
I don't want to have like a space spatula. Wow. Space spatula tether.
What?
A space spatula tether? That's possible.
Yeah. Okay. Space.
Spatula.
Space.
Tether.
Spatula.
You want it tied to your wrist. It's like, oh, my spatula. Oh, it's back.
Here it comes.
It's back to me now.
Yeah, why do they do that?
Just tether it. I would tether everything. TP tether. Shoe tether, space spatula tether.
You'd just be floating around with all this stuff.
Just like the...
like a Kerplunk game.
Yeah.
Connect Four.
Like Leonardo da Vinci of the human body, you know? But just like a bunch of tethers. Think about it.
Your smartphone.
Kerplunk.
let's see. In 1997, human remains were sent up for the first time. This is actually pretty current now. Because if you want your remains taken to space, you can make the arrangements for it to be put aboard a satellite.
Right.
And launched into space. It happened for the first time in 1997. Gene Roddenberry and Timothy Leary were among the first remains to be, their ashes, launched into space. Golf clubs, 1971, Alan Shepard hit a golf ball on the moon. Golf balls and golf clubs
How
in
did
space.
They go? Did it go farther, I guess? Or not as far?
I think it landed at Yankee Stadium.
Is that what happened?
I think it was spatula.
It was tethered, so it came back. That's what happened.
It was like Goofy Golf.
Yeah.
Now available now on the PS4. religious relics. It's kind of a tradition between the cosmonauts and the astronauts to take relics to the International Space Station, and they leave them.
Oh, wow.
It's rumored that one cosmonaut left a crucifix that actually contained wood, supposedly from the crucifix that Christ was crucified upon.
Really?
I don't think that can be verified.
How do they know that?
But it's like an urban legend
in
NASA. Wow. I guess. I don't know. Let's get Snopes on it.
A nice Shroud of Turin tether.
Exactly. I don't want to lose it.
Bring it back.
And this is kind of cool. Beads of Courage. There's a lady by the name of Jean Burock. I think I'm pronouncing her name correctly. She started this Beads of Courage group. And basically what they do is they travel around to children's hospital. And she found over time that children actually enjoyed making beaded necklaces and bracelets. And they could see a progress in the recovery. Plus, it kept them from just sitting in a bed all day.
Nice.
So she started this Beads of Courage program. She started at her local hospital. It soon extended out to like 60 hospitals across the country. Turns out one of the children that was in one of these hospitals was the daughter of an astronaut. And so he took her Beads of Courage into space in 2010.
Wow.
So.
That's pretty awesome.
Kind of a neat story.
Nice.
Just some of the weird things you don't think about that's going to space.
Huh. Wow.
When do the aliens get here? And why haven't we gone back to the moon?
What is up with that? What's the problem?
I don't know. What's the holdup?
In 69, we're doing this. Woodstock, spacemen. Why wasn't I around?
I actually have a Woodstock story coming up.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Give it to me.
Not Snoopy's friend.
Oh, yeah.
First, we're going to do the brief history of Filmation.
Yes, I'm down for that.
Filmation, a animation company.
Right.
Formed in the 1960s.
Many classic cartoons you'll know and love.
Can you name three before we get into this?
I don't want to mess it up, so I won't do it. I won't even attempt it.
You know, one.
He-Man.
Yeah, okay.
That's my fave.
So we'll do a brief history.
And the Ghostbusters.
Uh-huh.
Not real.
Live action.
No, they have the actual cartoon as well, right?
Well, they did it live action, and then they came back and did the cartoon version.
Yeah.
To cash in on Ghostbusters' popularity.
Yeah.
See our brief history of Ghostbusters.
Right.
But we'll do a brief history of Filmation animation.
Next.
You gotta ask yourself one question, punk.
What the hell is a cigar nerd?
Welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast.
It's the only show where two guys smoke cigars and talk about nerd culture.
Do you like movies, games, comics, sci-fi, pop culture, and beer?
Do you like science, nerd news, explosions for no apparent reason?
Then this is the show for you.
It's like being in a nerdy cigar shop, but for your ears.
Check us out at CigarNerdPodcast.com.
Filmation Studios, born in 1962 by an artist named Lou Scheimer. And Lou Scheimer attended Carnegie Tech at the same time as Andy Warhol.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he did this in conjunction with another artist by the name of Hal Sutherland. Sutherland came from Disney. And of all people, a radio broadcaster by the name of Norm Prescott got involved. So the three of these guys.
Have we spoken of Lou Scheimer before? That name sounds really familiar.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, he started Filmation Studios.
Right, right.
I mean, he was really the heart and soul of Filmation Studios. They got their start doing art or animation for commercials. And then their first real project was supposed to be this sequel, this animated sequel to The Wizard of Oz called Return to Oz or Back to Oz or something like that. And so they started working on this and they got into some financial problems trying to make this happen. So to get them out of those problems, they found out that CBS was looking to bring back Superman in an animated form to do an animated Superman show. So they start trying to court CBS and then National Periodicals, which would become DC Comics. Mm-hmm. And so they get them. They have this like small little studio that they work out of, and there's really just the three of them that are doing all the work for Filmation Studios. So before CBS picks them, they want to come to the office and see what they do. They bring in all their animation friends. Anybody they know, they try to get into the small office. They set them up. They make it look like they're doing animation. So when these people come to visit, they want it to have the appearance of an actual animation. Like they really are this big time animation studio.
Wow.
And so it's all phony. They're all basically actors and friends. And so CBS comes through, and one of the animators that was helping them out that day worked for Hanna-Barbera and had to get back to Hanna-Barbera. So he makes up the stories like, "Hey Lou, I got a bad tooth. I got to get to the dentist. Is it okay if I have the rest of the day off?" And Lou's like, "Yeah, okay." And so when he closes the door, he looks at one of the other guys and says, "Make sure to dock his pay."
Wow.
And CBS picked them to do the Superman cartoon basically off that visit, because their thought process was, well, they don't have a big office, but they run a tight ship.
Wow.
So he conned CBS and what would become DC Comics into letting Filmation do the Superman, the New Adventures of Superman in 1966.
That's crazy.
Now, what was really cool about the New Adventures of Superman is it basically took stories from the comics. It is very influenced by the comic adventures of Superman. They hired comic book writers to write the episodes. Bill Collier, who did Superman in the Fleischer films, came back to voice Superman for the series. It was pretty important for Filmation to get this contract from CBS because they made $36,000 an episode in 1966.
Big deal back then.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Superboy and Crypto came on board. They were featured in the New Adventures of Superman. And in the second year, they brought in Aquaman, and eventually the Flash, Green Lantern, the Justice League of America, the Atom, and Teen Titans were all part of the Superman Aquaman Hour of Adventure, mm-hmm. as it would become known as. No Batman and Robin appeared in this because they were still like contract problems with the live action show.
Really? Okay.
So they couldn't have Batman and Robin.
Gotcha.
In 1967, they did a animation version of Journey to the Center of the Earth based on the Jules Verne story for ABC. Filmation introduced the Archies. The reason why CBS was looking for a cartoon like this, and it's really interesting, is because following the assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr. and Bobby Kennedy, they didn't want a lot of violence on Saturday morning.
Ah.
But here you can see in 1968 that basically Filmation is creating the whole idea of Saturday morning cartoons. I mean, there had been a few here and there, but a lot of live animation stuff was aimed towards kids. Mm-hmm. And then, or not live animation, but live action stuff. But Filmation kind of created the whole idea of Saturday morning cartoons.
Wow. I mean, who doesn't know that idea of waking up on the weekends, big bowl of cereal, or three or four, and just loving your favorite shows?
I know.
Nothing wrong with it.
During the run of the Archies, the Sugar Sugar song by the Archies
went
platinum with 5 million copies sold. It was 1969's top Billboard seller of the year.
Really?
The Archies and Sugar Sugar.
Who was the actual band behind that? Who was that?
I mean, I would have to look that up.
Yeah, I'd like to see the answer to that.
Yeah, who the musicians were, who the singer was.
Yeah.
Was it Jughead? Was it Veronica?
Yeah, maybe Betty.
I bet it was Betty.
Think so?
She seemed to have all the talent.
The talent, yeah.
In 1968, they did the Batman Superman Hour. So they finally were able to bring Batman into the Filmation fold. Uh-huh. There was less Superman, but you did get Batgirl and Robin and a lot of the Bat gimmicks that carried over from the 60s TV show, the live action show, could be found on the Batman Superman Hour.
Uh-huh.
In 1969, you got the Archie's Comedy Hour, because here's the thing about Filmation. If they get something, they give you 100 different versions of it.
Yeah,
they do. You're going to get that.
They do.
During the Archie's Comedy Hour, Adam.
Yeah.
This is when Sabrina the Teenage Witch was introduced in cartoon form.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, she was in the comic strip.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
She's from Archie Comics?
She's from Archie Comics.
I really had no clue.
Yeah.
To me, mid-90s Melissa Joan Hart is the first version of that.
Of Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
I'm serious, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can go all the way back. She was on TV in 1969.
Wow.
Well, not Melissa Joan Hart.
Yeah, right. Just the character. I had no idea.
In 1969, they also did the Hardy Boys. Here's what's interesting about the Filmation Hardy Boys. Oh, yeah. The intro and outro was live action, but the actual weekly story was animation.
It's like the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
It kind of was. It was animated version of the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
But get this. During the animated content, they would bring real world problems into the Hardy Boys adventures. Like them chasing, you know, cocaine smugglers.
Wow.
On Saturday morning cartoons.
Wow.
But the Hardy Boys also kind of made history because it was the first Saturday morning show to introduce a supporting character that was not white.
Ah.
So you actually started to see some diversity in the comic. And that's kind of a big thing. When you look at Lou and what he did with Filmation, there always seemed to be like a social moral aspect to it.
Right.
And we'll get into that more in a few minutes. And of course, they did the whole thing like what they did with the Archies, and that is the Hardy Boys would sing a song halfway through the through the cartoon. Never had a platinum hit, though.
That makes sense.
And now here's the Hardy Boys. Fontainebleau. In 1969, Filmation was sold to a cable company called Teleprompter. They did this thinking that it would expand the accessibility of Filmation products. So it actually seemed like a good move at the time, because there is one thing that Lou Scheimer was famous for, and that was being a visionary. Like, he saw that there was a future outside of the big three networks, that we were heading towards a time where there would be more than just the Saturday morning cartoons. And he was right, and it ended up being one of his biggest projects. It ended up being He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Oh, yeah.
Which was in syndication, daily syndication.
Right. Not only that, but I mean, the action figures from that arose from that.
Yeah.
Just the content like that.
And there's some interesting stuff behind that.
Oh, really?
In 1970, Archie's Funhouse. And you also got Sabrina and the Groovy Ghoulies.
There we go.
And this was actually Sabrina had her own cartoon, but she was hanging out with monsters. Like, you know, she'd be playing volleyball with the guy that kind of looked like Frankenstein monster. they also did Will the Real Jerry Lewis Please Sit Down? This was a Jerry Lewis cartoon.
Really?
Yeah. It was based off, I think, one of Jerry Lewis's stage plays. But it was the cartoon form. But
is that a play on? I mean, of course, this came later, but is Eminem's Will the Real Slim Shady Please Stand Up? Is that a play on that?
Well, I think it was a play on the game show, Will the Real Whoever Please Stand Up.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
There we go. I'm triple learning here.
But that was the line they would use. What was the name of the game show? The game show had a different to tell the truth.
Uh-huh.
So it was three contestants, and it would be like three contestants, and my name is Adam, and I'm an astronaut. My name is Adam, and I'm a tennis player.
Oh, right, right.
My name is Adam, and I'm a gynecologist.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they would try to lie. And then at the end, the contestant would try to guess which one was real.
Yeah.
And so at the end, they would say, would the real Adam please stand up?
Okay, so the Jerry Lee, I got you. Okay.
So would the real Jerry Lewis please sit down?
I got you. It all makes sense.
Jerry Lewis didn't voice his own character in the cartoon. No, it was David Lamder, who I think that's his last name, who played Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that actor.
Yeah.
And when you think about his voice from Laverne and Shirley, you can see it's a very Jerry Lewis influence.
Yeah. That makes sense.
In 1972, Filmation's Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids.
Oh, yeah. One of my faves.
Again, kind of keeping with that whole trying to bring diversity and trying to be, you know, a social pillar.
Bill Cosby vehicle.
Yeah. It turns out that Lou Scheimer, and this was, of course, before we knew that Bill Cosby was like the greatest villain in TV history. He and Bill Cosby would have conversations because he felt like, Lou honestly felt like Fat Albert should be an Emmy-nominated show. Like, it should win an Emmy.
And it's classic. People love it to this day.
And Bill Cosby always said that they'll never nominate the Cosby Kids for an Emmy.
Really?
And he was right. They never got it.
That's messed up.
1973 was the first time that Filmation had cartoons every Saturday morning across all three major networks. You had My Favorite Martians on CBS, which was another tradition that they would get into, and that's where they would do animated versions of popular sitcoms from the last 20, 30 years.
Right.
So My Favorite Martians was on CBS. Mission Magic was on ABC, which actually featured the talents of Rick Springfield.
Really?
He played a magical music teacher.
Really?
Rick Springfield did.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, neither have I. I would like. I kind of like to see this. And then on NBC was Star Trek. Now, here's what's really cool about Star Trek.
Great show, yeah. Great animated.
It's one of the best animated shows of that era because it's voiced by the original cast.
Yeah.
I think only Chekhov didn't come back to do the voice of Chekhov in the cartoon,
mm-hmm.
but everybody else did. So it's Leonard Nimoy, it's William Shatner, it's James Doohan. And the writers of the original Star Trek show came on board to write for the cartoon as well.
Nice. I didn't know
so
that.
So it's almost really is a continuation of the live action show. And they won an Emmy for it.
Really?
It's the only Emmy Filmation ever won was for the Star Trek cartoon
Weird.
On NBC.
Huh. And if I'm not mistaken, that ran longer than the actual series did, right?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I think you're right.
Uh-huh.
In 1974, they launched one of their live action efforts, Shazam.
Oh, yeah. That's
Captain
rough.
Marvel.
You know I'm a fan of that character, and that's kind of rough to watch.
Yeah, it's a little, yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah. But it was a live action Saturday morning show.
We've seen that actor a few times at different local conventions.
Yes, we have. They also released the animated version of The New Adventures of Gilligan's Island.
Oh, wow.
Tina Louise would not voice Ginger on the show. And Don Wells, who voiced Marianne on the show, could not voice Marianne on the show because she was doing stage work at the time.
Yeah.
So it was a different voice for Ginger. As a matter of fact, she wouldn't even release her likeness to be on the cartoon.
Really?
Apparently there were some problems on Gilligan's Island with Tina Louise and the people involved. Because she wouldn't even sign off on her likeness. So if you watch the cartoon, Ginger's blonde.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of like real Ghostbuster style. Different voices, different likeness. Huh.
And then in the original one, there was no Marianne. Or there was a Marianne, but it wasn't Dawn Wells because she was off doing stage stuff. In 1975, the live-action Ghostbusters, which featured ghosts chasing guys and their gorilla friend Tracy.
Right.
Was the name of the gorilla.
The character Kong isn't the gorilla.
True. Well, it was on the cartoon.
When Kong was in the live action show as well, it was the guy, the older guy.
Oh, the older guy.
His name was Kong.
Was Kong.
Yeah,
but he wasn't the gorilla.
Right. That's the
gorilla was Tracy.
That's the comedy part.
Wow.
I watched. It's funny you say this. Last week, I watched some episodes of the live action Ghostbusters on YouTube. They have full episodes.
How bad?
It's fun. It's got some charm to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very tongue in cheek. Like it's very. It has to me kind of like an HR Puff and Stuff feel to it.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I really thought
you see
so
the
too.
Setting starts up and like they're showing the location zoom ins and the crowd's already laughing. The canned laughter is already starting before the show starts.
Yeah. Everything I've seen of that show gives me that same feeling.
Yeah.
Like they should have a ride at Six Flags.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
In 1976 they did Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle. I actually enjoyed this cartoon.
I've never seen that. Never had.
Yeah. Also in 1976, The New Adventures of Batman and Robin. Now, here's the twist.
Ah, the twist.
By this point, you had the Super Friends over on ABC.
Uh-huh.
And the guys that did the voice work for the original Filmation Batman cartoon were voicing for Super Friends. So Filmation went and got Adam West and Burt Ward to come in and voice Batman and Robin on the new Adventures of Batman and Robin.
Which, have you seen the announcement this past week of Adam West and Burt Ward returning to animated Batman movie this fall?
For what? Is it the Lego Batman movie?
No. It's like DC's putting out an animated Batman movie.
Like Batman 66?
Yeah, but it's a full-length feature movie. Animated with and Julie Newmar as well.
That's great.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
What about Burgess Meredith?
No.
What about Cesar Romero?
No. They do have the characters coming back. They said Joker and Penguin are coming back.
What about Eartha Kitt?
No. But Adam West and Burt Ward. You've got to see the trailer for it. It's awesome. They've got a full, they do the voices for it and everything.
So is this inspired from the Batman 66 comic?
I would think so.
Yeah.
It's not called that, but I would think the popularity of that made this happen. I'll show you later on. It's great. It's awesome.
Finally, in 1976, after so many years, Journey Back to Oz was released as a two-hour primetime special.
Nice.
This featured the voice of Liza Minnelli as Dorothy.
Ah.
Because she was the daughter of Dorothy.
Yes,
from the
Dorothy.
Original Wizard of Oz.
I totally know that.
I do, too.
Judy Garland.
Thank you.
From the depths. That was a close one.
It was actually released 2 years early in the theaters.
Uh-huh.
But then it became this primetime special, and when they had to add time to it, in the TV version, there were special segments hosted by Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever see Return to Oz with Fruza Balk?
And then there's outtakes where he's drugging people.
Oh, come on. You think he did that?
With Farouk Assault?
Fruza Balk.
Oh, no. Oh, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, quickly, I'm going to go through here. 1977, The Young Sentinels. 1977, Space Academy. Batman, Tarzan, Adventure Hour in 1977.
I don't know these. Don't know them.
The new Archie Sabrina Hour
in
1977. And 1979, New Adventures of Flash Gordon. This is the famous Flash Gordon cartoon.
Okay.
That actually is pretty, kind of like Star Trek. Like, this might be their best work.
Really?
And they even ran the pilot in prime time. In 1979, the new Fat Albert. Now, what's different about this in the original incarnation of the Fat Albert, this is the episodes of Fat Albert where they incorporate the Brown Hornet.
Uh-huh.
Which was the superhero that the kids would watch on TV.
Right.
The Brown Hornet. In 1980... MGM gave up one of their properties to Filmation to do a version of, and that was the New Adventures of Tom and Jerry.
I love some Tom and Jerry.
The Filmation Tom and Jerry, you can tell a difference in.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, because it's got that Filmation look to it,
yeah.
Which we'll explain here in a second. In 1980, also the Tarzan Lone Ranger Adventure Hour. In 1981, Black Star, which at the time was the biggest success for Filmation. Black Star caught the attention of Mattel.
Uh-huh.
It was so well done, it caught the attention of Mattel. In 1982, Gilligan's Planet, which was a new animated version of Gilligan's Island, except they escaped the island and landed on a planet. It was Gilligan's Planet, and Gilligan had an alien
pet. 3-year tour.
Don Wells returned. It was the original cast again, and Don Wells returned to voice not only Marianne, but also Ginger.
Wow.
Because Tina Louise still wouldn't work with him in 1982.
Okay.
And also in 1982, Filmation was sold to Westinghouse Productions. So Westinghouse bought Filmation in 1982. In 1983,
here we go.
A little cartoon was released.
Do you have the power?
Called He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. I feel like this is what we've been working towards.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we'll stay here for a second. He-Man happened for various reasons. One, like I said, the cartoon Black Star caught the attention of Mattel. The FCC had relaxed some rules. Specifically, you could have cartoons based off toys now.
Mm-hmm.
You just couldn't run an ad for the toy during the cartoon.
So why not make a full 30-minute commercial of the toy?
And that's kind of what they did.
Yeah.
But Filmation, I will say, and there's a documentary you can find on YouTube about Filmation and watch it. And they point out that if you watch other cartoons, say like G.I. Joe... Mm-hmm. They make it a point to, Duke gets out of one of the G.I. Joe vehicles that you can buy to run into the G.I. Joe headquarters to get into another G.I. Joe vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Filmation would not let the toy company write the episodes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So
that makes more sense.
Yeah. And this was the biggest payday in Filmation history. because they came in and ordered 65 episodes to go into daily syndication. So it wasn't like 13, like a traditional run.
Yeah.
Like from day one, first season, 65 episodes.
Wow. That's pretty ballsy up front.
Right. And it couldn't happen at a better time because Filmation had basically burned all their bridges with the major networks, and every major network said they would never run another Filmation cartoon.
Hmm.
And there's reasons for that. So now you've got He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. This is kind of the flagship of Filmation. In 1985, they introduced She-Ra. In 1986, they bring back the animated version of the Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this was the same year that the real Ghostbusters debuted.
Trying to ride the coattails of that classic movie. Terrible.
And this was kind of the beginning of the end. They had so much success with He-Man that Mattel came back to Filmation to do kind of the same thing with a line of toys called Bravestar.
Mm-hmm.
And Bravestar released, or Mattel released the Bravestar toys into toy stores in 1986. But by the time Bravestar hit the airwaves in 1987, the toy line had failed. And Bravestar kind of was the last animated show from Filmation.
Yeah, I was never big into that show or the toy. For some reason, it never got me.
Yeah.
Not sure why.
So what happened is L'Oreal came in. Yeah, the cosmetics company. L'Oreal came in and bought Filmation from Westinghouse.
Yeah.
All L'Oreal wanted was the library.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Because have any interest with L'Oreal?
Because with the success of He-Man, obviously it was going to still be popular for a long time.
Right.
But they thought they could just take these old shows and run them into weekday syndication. Wow. And sell them to TV stations across the country, and that's all they wanted.
And show Prince Adam's luscious bowl cut?
Exactly. Lou Scheimer has gone on record as saying he felt duped by that, because he had to sign the contract for it to happen. And they signed the contract, and he pretty much fired the entire staff the next day.
Wow.
He had to fire the entire staff. Now, we talked about the look of Filmation, and Filmation does have a certain look. And some of that look comes from what's called rotoscoping. And rotoscoping is basically taking film, like live-action film, and animating over the top of it. And it's kind of cheap to do. And that is a big complaint of Filmation, is they look cheap.
They do, yeah.
Because Filmation would use the same animation sequences over and over and over. They also were not as incorporating as many shots per second as other animated shows were.
Yeah, you watch the actual frame rate of a He-Man and Masters of the Universe dialogue scene with Prince Adam or He-Man talking. It could be any line of dialogue, the way his mouth and face are moving.
Yes.
Anything you say, it could be used for anything. It really does.
And that was done on purpose.
Yeah.
So they could reuse certain animation sequences.
Mm. It's kind of got that, it's a newer version of Hanna-Barbera stuff to me for some reason. If you think back to old Flintstones cartoons or Jetsons, the same thing's happening.
Yeah.
Really think of their mouth movements compared to now, like a Simpsons or a South Park. You can see what words they're trying to say with the sound off. You can't do that with a Hanna-Barbera or a Filmation.
It's just like, man, and two, another trick that they would develop for, and you can see this in He-Man and Masters of the Universe. Say they're going to do a scene at Castle Grayskull.
Right.
Well, you know, you come back from commercial, and there's the painting of Castle Grayskull.
Yeah.
And then it will scan across the landscape before you get to the scene. That was done to fill time.
Wow.
So they would implement tricks like this to extend the episodes. Now, the reason why they did this, and this is actually kind of cool.
Or cheap.
He stayed cheap to keep the animation in the U.S.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because
a patriot, huh?
At this point, most animation companies were outsourcing the animation sales out of the United States.
Really?
Because even in the 1980s, it was like $10 to $12 per sale to do in the United States. Like per sale for an animated show would cost $10 to $12. You could send that, outsource it to China for $1.25 and get the sale done. So he refused to outsource. There was only one show they used, and they outsourced some of the stuff for, I think, the original Tarzan cartoon. And he refused to have animators that were outsourced. So, because he wanted to keep all these people at Filmation employed. And it ended up costing him his company. Well, it ended up costing him business with the three major networks.
Yeah.
Because the reason why they dropped Filmation is because it looked cheap they felt, you know, the rotoscoping looked cheap.
And it did. I mean, it's got a charm to it, but it does look cheap. You can tell.
And it does have a certain, I mean, you can look at, you look at a show, hey, is this a Filmation show? You can just tell almost instantly that's a Filmation cartoon. Mm-hmm. At the time that they shuttered the doors in the late 80s, Filmation was employing more American animators than any of the animation companies combined, any of the other animation companies combined.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, so even when they the legend goes that even when he announced that everyone was being let go that day, because all L'Oreal wanted was the library. It's kind of like when WWE bought WCW.
Yeah.
They didn't want any of the talent, they just wanted the library.
Just the name, yeah, yeah.
That they all stood up and gave him a standing ovation.
Well, really?
Because he was able, because he kept it going longer than, and employed more animators than anybody else.
Wow.
At the time.
Huh.
So he ended up being a really good guy. Plus, it was very important for him to do, like, most of the characters had a moral message at the end of it. Even when some of the animators wanted to go darker, with especially like Masters of the Universe and tell darker stories, he refused to do it because he wanted to keep it light and he wanted it to be a morality tale for children that were watching the cartoons. So I kind of appreciate him on that point.
Hmm.
So now, who owns the library of Filmation? It was L'Oreal for a while.
You'd say Westinghouse. Didn't Westinghouse buy them out, you said?
Well, Westinghouse bought them out, and then L'Oreal bought Filmation from Westinghouse.
Oh, they actually did. Okay.
Yeah. So
it can't be L'Oreal still, right?
No. L'Oreal sold to, I think it went through three or four more people. Then Boomerang picked up.
Oh, really?
And that's when they had the Cartoon Network Boomerang.
It's Donald Trump, isn't it?
No. Very close, though. It's very close. Just a few years ago, the entire library of Filmation was bought by DreamWorks Animation.
Oh, okay. I almost guessed Ted Turner.
Just this year, Comcast bought DreamWorks Animation.
Wow.
So now NBC Universal Comcast owns the library of Filmation. Wow. And now, here's the problem with it, though. They can't release all the Filmation stuff. Like, they can't put them out on DVD. And some of them they can if Filmation owned the rights to the characters.
Mm-hmm.
But for stuff like the DC Comics characters, like the Adventures of Superman, and
those
character rights obviously went back to Warner Brothers and DC Comics.
Interesting.
So there you have it.
The history.
Brief history of Filmation.
I like it.
I really appreciated them after researching all that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, it's a lot of fun stuff. I mean, I have fond memories of a lot of their shows. Some of those, like Brave Star and things, I knew there was a following for it. I just never personally got into it.
Yeah.
But I understand the importance of it.
So, and He-Man, man.
Oh, yeah.
It was huge.
Oh, yeah. It was a big deal.
Once you could incorporate toys into cartoons.
Yeah.
Skies were the limit.
It was.
I'm going to call this Sausage Party.
Okay.
For anybody who doesn't think that Germans are a resourceful people, look no further than the recent story of a 40-year-old man who found a way to dent a car with a giant sausage.
Oh, boy.
The man wielded his meat this past Saturday. In retaliation,
trying to keep a straight face.
In retaliation for another German parking his car in the way, he felt was a bit too careless. With his son nearby, the man smacked the BMW with a nearly foot-long sausage, denting the vehicle, police say. Suspicion is it's a metal clip at the end of the jumbo Frank that caused the problem.
Why is there a metal clip there?
I don't know. I don't know.
It just happens.
The swinging sausage came after the man engaged in a shouting match with a 47-year-old who had parked his car in front of them. At one point, the police report suggests the two men were grabbing one another. The 49-year-old German man was apparently worried about the safety of his child. As it turns out, the sausage attacker may have had the inspiration from elsewhere. In April, two investors at a Mercedes-Benz shareholder meeting lost their cool over some free bratwurst in what was described as a furious quarrel. They started smacking each other with their sausages.
And where was this? Where was that?
I can't read anymore.
I think the story's been gotten, it's gotten through.
The sausage smacking happened at a Mercedes-Benz shareholder meeting.
Wow.
Allegedly.
In Germany?
In Germany.
Okay. They love their sausages over there.
But Germans can't take all the credit for the brilliant idea of using your sausage to assault someone. 4 years ago, a cyclist in central Massachusetts was pelted with sausage links as he tried to get his morning exercise in.
Wow.
A man came up behind him and started throwing the links. The attacker apparently realized that sausage isn't always the most effective weapon. However, eventually switched from meat to metal, throwing wrenches at his victim.
It's a good band name, Meat to Metal. I like that.
There you have it.
There you go.
The sausage party.
Your story of the week, sausage party.
Be careful where you're swinging your sausage.
Why did it have a metal clip to
all
it?
I could think of Ric Flair is when I was reading that.
Oh, yeah. The helicopter and the airplane?
Uh-huh. That's all I could think of.
Yeah, look up Ric Flair and his airplane festivities.
Or not.
Ah, come on. It's fine. It's a good story.
Well, do you have anything else before we go?
I think that's about it. Covered a lot this week. This day. This night.
We threw a lot of sausage.
I think the next episode we may have a special guest. Maybe.
I think we do. Transformer and former Mike.
It's a possibility.
Might be on this show.
A nice, fun, in-studio guest. Always like those.
Transformer and former Mike is very curious about what you are going to ask him about.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He wants to know what he should prepare for.
Oh, he knows everything. Every question I have, he knows already.
Are you going to ask about Transformers the movie?
I'll ask about everything.
Are you going to ask about Knight Rider?
Oh, I could, couldn't I?
He loves Knight Rider.
Does he love Manimal?
I think he's aware of Manimal.
Okay. I have Manimal questions.
What's your Manimal? Perhaps I can answer.
No, I'm going to wait.
There's only 4 episodes. I've seen them all.
He's the first non-Australian guest we've had in the studio in years.
Well,
Amy's still here, but...
A year?
Who else was it?
Well, we have Josh on every now and then. Is he not a guest anymore?
I think it's been more than a year.
I think it's a special guest.
I think it's more than a year, isn't it?
Was it MomoCon last year? Was the last time Josh was on?
I mean, like, in studio.
Oh, okay.
That's what I mean, like, in the studio.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Well, he's not allowed.
That's true.
But you can go listen to his show, Collection Connection.
Please do it. It's awesome. This week was especially good, or last week's. The Kim's comes out on Thursday.
With Brooklyn.
Right, yeah.
Harley Brooklyn.
They talk about Suicide Squad. They gave their mini review on it.
Mini reviews on it is what they did.
They enjoyed it much more than I did. Can we say that?
I think we all did.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know why you're so down on that movie.
You're not feeling it, man. I will never see it again. I know that.
But you said last week on this show that you might buy it on Blu-ray just to see if there's more Jared Leto.
I'll borrow it from you to see if there's more Jared Leto.
Man, I can't support your habits the rest of my life. You're like, hey, man. Hey.
You got the movies.
Hey, I need some Olympics. Can you hook me up with the Olympics?
I like that suit. Here's a Z-Quil.
You're like a bad guy from Miami Vice in the 80s.
I know. It's awesome, right?
You're stereotypical. So yes, Transformer and former Mike might be on. Go listen to Collection Connection. Mm-hmm.
He was on there, what, a month ago?
He did two episodes.
Fantastic episodes.
About the Transformers.
Right, yeah. So since you can hear that on Collection Connection, I won't drill in too much about Transformers. I am interested in the...
Well, they didn't talk a lot about the Transformers the movie.
Yeah, there's probably a reason for that. And they talk about his love of it. I want to see more of what made him drawn to that. Because, you know, I think it's a big psychological thing that everyone has a draw to some character. Why I love the Hulk so much, why you love Batman, why he loves Transformers. There's something deeper than we have on the outside. I want to get to the bottom of that, why he loves Transformers.
I'm drawn more to Teddy Roosevelt.
I thought you were going to say Ruxpin. That would have been funnier.
I'm drawn... I'm drawn more to Teddy Ruxpin.
That's funny. I thought you were going to say Roosevelt. This is Podcast Purgatory. You're a Podgatory.
For the rest of my life.
Yeah, just Roosevelt Ruxpin.
Podcast Purgatory.
Ooh. Oh.
I like the sound of that.
Podcast Purgatory.
That's
a sticker I would vote for in 2020.
Podcast Purgatory?
No, Ruxpin Roosevelt. Roosevelt Ruxpin.
Maybe the Green Party candidate.
The Teddies. Are you ready for the Teddies? I would vote for this.
Show me the Teddies.
Now that's a Teddy. Teddies. It's a win-win.
It'd be fun to vote.
A win-win.
What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah. If that's inspiring for you, go visit the ESOpodcast.com.
Yes, please.
There you can find past episodes of this show as well as other shows inside the Earth Station One network, and also visit Peruse. The Amazon store.
It's very possible you can have Teddy Ruxpin paraphernalia or memorabilia on there.
That's true.
Yeah.
Or Teddy Roosevelt.
Or Transformers things. Once we talk about Transformers all next week, you'll know.
There's plenty of Doctor Who stuff all at the Amazon store.
He-Man, Filmation.
At ESOpodcast.com. You can check out our website, adamandjp.com.
Of course, on facebook.com/adamandjp and on Twitter and sometimes Instagram and sometimes Twitter at adamandjp.
I'm Jay Patrick. That's Adam.
This is the Adam and JP Show.
Face Sealer. This has been a production of the Adam and JP family of On Demand Talk Radio.
AdamandJP.com.
Right now.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.